Welcome to the Watch Night services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Watch Night service, December 31st, 1984, from 8 to 12 midnight, with Brother Philip Rosenbaum preaching, the gardeners, and also servants of the Master. God bless as we worship together. I'm certainly looking forward to hearing them sing. Brother Jim Sutton, I've never heard him sing with them. I've heard him sing. And you all come at this time, gardeners, and sing for us. And then we'll have another congregational number and piano flute duet. And then Brother Rosenbaum is going to preach for us.
Start singing, we'll sing till we get tired, or you run us off one for two. First song we're going to sing is Come Unto Me. Brother Jim said the other morning, there's one song we have to sing tonight. So here it is, One Day at a Time. Another one that I'll probably miss a few words, but I'll try to do it with that music. This one speeds up a little bit more than One Day at a Time. They're holding up the ladder.
Ladder for me, and my son is up the ladder always.
was going to sing this one. And you know, he tried so hard to get out of it that he took a copy of music home the other day to have him a copy made. And he left both of them. He got his copy made, but he left them at home. He hid them somewhere. But we came up with another copy anyway. So he's still going to have to sing this. Look for me at Jesus' feet. We tried to improve our group by getting him. I'll put it that way. And I know there's some back here that I guess for sure don't know everybody here, so I'll start with you on my far left is Tom Watts, Debbie Hensley, Jim Sutton, Joyce Barker, I'm Fred Skaggs, and this one over here is James Angelini. And the first time we've been together really for a pretty good while. And we're glad to be here. We're glad to be able to sing again. Davey's going to start this one off, Seven on the Cloud.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word.
Just before Brother Rosenbaum comes to speak for us, to give us God's word, we'd like to have Wanda to come to play her flute and Myrna and her mom to play the piano while she plays the flute. We thank God for the Lord sending Brother Rosenbaum our way. I'd like for both of them to stand. Glad to have Reba here with him also tonight. This time, Wanda's going to come to play for us, and after this, Brother Rosemont is going to come to preach for us.
Thank Wanda and Myrna for... Did you ever lay your Bible down backwards, brother? I left my ribbon out of it tonight and I laid it down backwards, so I'd preach a backward sermon. Maybe backward anyway. I appreciate Myrna and Wanda for that number and the Gardeners for their singing tonight. And Brother Sutton, I heard them before you got with them, and you have helped them. No, just kidding a little bit. I had to say a little something here to sort of break the ice a little bit. was sitting back there thinking about something I could say, you know, and we always put our foot in our mouth when we have to think about it, you know. I like to just be able to come out with it and not be able to, not have to think about it. But I was thinking, as they were singing, I was thinking about a time when I was director of missions in Middle Tennessee. We had a pastor at First Baptist Church of Cornersville. His name was Farmer. And the director of missions of the state missions there, same thing that Bob Jones is here in Kentucky, his name was Baumgardner. And Brother Baumgardner had a revival for Brother Farmer. And he got up one night and he said, after that long, lengthy introduction that I didn't get tonight, he got up and he said, Brother Farmer is a good farmer, and I'm a bum gardener. So I want to change that tonight, just a little bit. Brother Farmer may be a good farmer, and Brother Bum Gardener may be a bum gardener, but you are good gardeners. Gardeners. Well, y'all laughed at that. Thank you, Brother Hammond. I paid him a quarter. No, it is good to be here tonight, and we appreciate y'all asking us to come. We feel honored always to come to Airport Gardens, and I thought after I persecuted you for 10 services here that you wouldn't ask me again for a while. And Brother Hamblin asked me the other day if I would, it's been a couple of weeks or longer, I guess. And I don't turn down any opportunities to preach, and I thank you for the opportunity, Brother Hamblin, to come and to share with you tonight in this service. I feel tonight that it's a privilege and a joy to be able to serve the Lord. And if you don't enjoy serving the Lord, you need to get down on your knees and ask God to change some things in your life. Because I believe there's joy in being a Christian. I don't think that there's always, that you always have to be with a frown on your face look like a plum in order to be a Christian. I believe that you can have joy in your heart. And I think you could overdo it, but I think you ought to have joy in your heart. And it's a joy for me to serve the Lord. I feel like God has given me a new chance to serve Him in these past few years, a new opportunity, a fresh opportunity, and I thank Him for it. Tonight, I'd like to turn your attention to a passage of Scripture, not take up a lot of time with idle chatter. I want to think about a passage found in the fifth chapter of John, the fifth chapter of John. But I want to go back just a minute into the fourth chapter and just kind of bring you up to date. Some of the most powerful words, and probably some words that did more to cause the Jews to want to kill Jesus, are found in this text that I'm going to use tonight. And as a matter of fact, I would go as far as to say that this was the first time recorded in John that Jesus claimed to be deity or the divine Son of God openly. In chapter 4, we have the story there of the nobleman's son being healed. And, of course, that story is very familiar with us. And then Christ goes on to, from there, he leaves that area and he goes into Galilee. And as he goes into Galilee, he goes to Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And here he shows himself to be the great physician. And he goes to the pool of Bethesda. And there we know that Jesus saw the man who was impotent for 38 years, the Bible says. And we don't know how Jesus knew this except that he was the Son of God. But he knew it. He knew that he had been sick for a long time. And he was waiting there for the waters to be troubled. And they believe these five porches there at the pool of Bethesda, there were five porches there where people came and they waited on the waters to move. And verse 4 says that an angel came. They believe this. Now, some translations omit verse 4. I don't really think it should be omitted because I think it has great significance. But the story goes on where Jesus healed the impotent man there. And as Jesus healed this man, he told him to pick up his bed and walk. And the man picked up his pallet and he did as Jesus told him. The Jews evidently didn't see the healing, but they saw the man. And it was the Sabbath day, and they saw this man carrying his pallet. And it was against the Jewish law to carry your pallet on your bed on the Sabbath day. And so they asked the man the question, "Why are you carrying your pallet? It's the Sabbath day." And he said, "The man who healed me told me to do it." They continued to inquire. And then Jesus came across the man in the temple, the Bible says. And there in the temple, Jesus told the man to go and to sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon him. And to make kind of a longer story, just a little bit shorter, the Jews began to question Jesus here. And therefore did the Jews, verse 16, did the Jews persecute Jesus, and they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But the verse 17 is the clincher. Verse 17 says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto." But he didn't stop there. "And I work." Jesus claims to be God. He claims to be connected with God, deity, the divine Son of God. My Father. Now get this. My Father, God, worketh hitherto. God still works. And I am working. And then in the next verse, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." I've been experiencing some things the last few weeks. And I know that God works. I've always known that God worked. I've testified to the fact that God works. I've seen God work because God has worked in my own life in many ways. But in the past few weeks, I could share some things with you that would be kind of personal. And I've shared these things with some people, and I would share them with you, but it would be a lengthy story. Saturday evening, I received a phone call, and God had been working with me. And it was a call to preach next Sunday up above Whitesburg. And I knew God was working. And I was working on this message at the time. For tonight, I wanted to prepare something new for you on on a special occasion, I want it to be fresh with me and meaningful with me. And if it is, then it'll be meaningful to you. So after that phone call, I studied a while, and then I sat around a while and I went to bed. I got up way before daylight, hours before daylight, and I picked up my Bible and I began to study again. And I began to work on a message, just as if I was going to preach. I didn't know that I was going to preach, but God knew it because God was working. And in 15 minutes after 8, after I'd sat there and I'd went over that message as if I was, if I were to go to the pulpit and deliver that message, and I knew I was going to, and God worked in my life and He got me geared up and stirred up and ready to preach. And 15 minutes after 8, I received a phone call from Ronald Davison at Vico Baptist Church, and he said, "Brother Rosenbaum," he said, "I've got a problem." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I want you to help me." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "I want you to come and preach this morning because the man who was going to preach for us called me at 8 o'clock and said he wasn't coming back anymore." God is working. And I said, "I'll be there." And I was there. And I believe God used me there because God is working. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." God tonight is working. And as I stand here before you tonight, I thought about this way before all of these things happened to me, because I began to think about this not long after Brother Hamblin asked me to preach. And God began to work on me with this. So I know God works. And as I stand before you tonight, I wanted to say something to you that might encourage you and strengthen you and help you in this new year. And I also want you to look back and see what God has been doing during the year 1984. And I thought about this, and as I thought about it, God is working tonight. And as I stand near the doorway tonight to the new year, I believe that's the most optimistic thing that I could utter to you tonight. God is working. God is working. In fact, the most significant statement that I might make tonight would be that God is at work. Listen, for your life and mine tonight, that is perhaps the most important fact in all the universe, that God is working. God works. I think it is significant for many reasons, but I believe it's significant for this reason, and that is, it has back of it the authority of Jesus Himself, who said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I am working." You know, a man can make that statement not because he can in any great measure know tonight how God works. I could not tell you in all ways tonight how God works. I want us to approach this thing tonight for a few minutes and think about it as a reporter would go out, a news reporter would go out to gather news. And he has five things in mind. He wants to know how, where, when, why, and what. Those five things. We ought to view God that way. I don't know how God works tonight in all ways. In some measure, I could tell you how God works. A man can only accept humbly the word of God spoken through the prophet Isaiah when he said, "My ways are not your ways, for the heavens are higher than your ways, higher than my ways." We only know in small part how God works. But we know better tonight when He works or where He works. We know where He works tonight. The minutest particle of dust tonight as you would view it through a microscope, evidences the working of God. God is working. God works in all things. God works in this thing. God works in the nearest thing to me, Philip Rosenbaum, and to you tonight. God works in the nearest thing, and that is myself. God works in me. God works in you. That's where God works. Then I would say to you tonight that we know how God works. We'll never know a time tonight when God is not working. Chaos and confusion would follow if God did not work. Jesus said, "The Father worketh hitherto." My Father is still working, or working still, Jesus is saying. He works unto now. He works right now. He shall work. God's time is an eternal now. Right now. God is working. Why does God work? It's God's revelation and man's discovery that God tonight is love. God is love. John penned it in his first epistle as well as any other writer in the Bible. God is love. This is why God works. God is working in His love, acting and active. I've always stated, and I believe it with all of my heart, love acts. Love is active. Love acts unto loving purpose. God works because tonight He loves. What does God do? Well, tonight the answer to what God does lies in every particle of dust that you might find. Every germ tonight, in every seed, God works. In every cell tissue, in your body tonight, God works. In the mystery of our minds tonight, God is at work. In the working tonight of every physical and spiritual law known to man, in every miracle of grace, God is working. He is at work. Tonight, to state what God does, we must use great comprehensive words. I want to throw some words at you that ought to stagger you tonight about God. And you think about all of these words, and as you think about them, you think about how simple they are, but think about all they encompass. God tonight creates. You think about that. A simple word, but when we connect it to God, it's all encompassing. God creates. God redeems. God empowers. How do we come through a year like 1984? We do it because God empowers us to do it. Yes, tonight God is working. It is His initiative tonight, His effort, His planning, and it's His performance.
Don't tell her age.
I'll not tell how old you are, because that'll tell how old I am.
That's what I think.
This is Tommy Brown and his wife on the piano over here, and David Eversole from Abbey Wan. We're glad to have them with us tonight. They're going to sing for us, and then we'll go right into the fen.
Thank you. glad Brother James asked us to come over. I've known him for a long time. I broke bread in his home with him, and he taught me when I was a young man, and just a kid, really. I was, 10, 11. When I was in grade school, he taught me over at Big Creek Baptist. I've been on to some singings and stuff, revivals. And then I grew up and I left. And I came back, and this is the first time I've been with him for 14 years. And I consider him an honor. We talked about twice or three times on the phone, and I love him. And you know what? That's our job. We're to provoke one another to love. And that's our job. We're going to sing now, "Look for Me."
glad to have Kathy Moore with us, and we'll let her come to sing for us. I hope that microphone there is on. We'll check it and see. We'll sing the others in here. Kathy and her husband were with us yesterday morning in the morning worship service, and as I told you a while ago, we heard her singing out in the audience, and I asked her yesterday to sing for us tonight, and this time she's going to sing, and after this we'll have maybe two stanzas of a congregational hymn and dedicate it to Kathleen Baker, who is in the hospital. This is her favorite song, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship." And then we'll have the servants of the Master to sing for us again. This is Kathleen Baker's favorite hymn. Every time we have hymn favorites, 351 is what she calls out. "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship." Verse 3 talks about the sisters. So we're singing just two stanzas, first and third.
Let's stand up and stretch on this one.
To pray.
Looks like the first two songs we done cleared them out. We have a friend in Nicholasville, Kentucky, who we used to pick a little bit with once in a while, and he's written numerous songs, and he's recorded a couple of albums, and I don't know, some of you might have heard of Bill Holland, and he wrote a song called Restoration, and Pat wanted to take off with it and just worship God with it. Somebody said something a while ago about when I said, well, we're going to sing, look for me or something. Somebody said, I thought you were going to sing or something. I believe the minister back there preached for us now. I said, well, don't the Bible say the twain will be one? Don't I sound pretty good, you know? I know the Lord has really blessed me. I do want to introduce us for those who don't know us or anything like that. We're one of you. You know, when we're all under the blood, when we're all got Jesus, we're brother and sister. Somebody asked Jesus one time, said, who is my brother, my sister, or my mother? He said, he that doeth the will of my Father, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And as long as we're doing the will of the Father, we are brother and sister. Here's a song for the Hensons, Till the Land. Thank you. when we first got up here, I was as nervous. I tell you, I couldn't hardly walk up here. I was shaking so bad. Now you look. That hand is just steady as a rock. Resistance gives me the problems now. But no, I tell you what, when you start talking to the Lord, He can settle the nerves. He can do anything. And as Stephen said, when he was being stoned, he looked up and he said, "I see Jesus." He was sitting on the right hand of the Father, and He's waiting to come and get His people, James. And it won't be long. He's coming to get His children. I see Jesus. Service of the Master. When you start working for the Lord, you become a servant. You want to work for Him. You want to see Him. But see, some things you have to do. You have to lay down some things. Just lay it down. when you get to heaven, you know, after you fight this life, the Bible says, you know, that's the only fight that you ever have to fight is the fight of faith. The Bible said, Paul said, I fought a good fight. And when we get to heaven, the best is yet to come. It's her night. Cool a fevered brow. It can heal a lot of things. Just the meeting.